Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. So today I'm in conversation with Sarah Cordiner. From a humble gypsy heritage beginnings and being the first female in her family to get education, Sarah is now the youngest university director in Australia's history. Sarah has been a CEO in the education industry for over a decade and grew her business internationally with over 12,000 aspiring educators from 146 countries studying her programs at the time that she switched paths in 2017. Sarah's published 8 books and is a 5 times international number one best-selling author, was a finalist for 2 awards in the Telstra Business Women's Awards, won the influential 100 Award 2 years in a row, and was listed by the Huffington Post as one of the top 50 must-follow female entrepreneurs for 2017. Sarah now leads one of the most remote university campuses in the world as the executive director and head of campus of the University of Notre Dame, Australia. So everybody, I would like to welcome our guest this week, phenomenal woman, Sarah Cordiner. Sarah, how are you?
Hello, Janice. Hi, everyone else. It's wonderful to be here with you today.
Excellent, excellent. The wonders of technology. Can you tell everybody where you are right now?
Sure, I am in one of the most remote towns in Australia at the moment. A beautiful little seaside town called Broome, right on the top northwest side of Western Australia. It's very hot, very sweaty. We're just coming out the end of our wet season at the moment, and we're all at the ends of a little bit of mango madness.
Okay.
But here we are talking to you on the other side of the world. How fantastic
excellent,
is this?
Excellent, excellent. So, Sarah, I've done a short bio. Of a very accomplished young woman. But tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you come from, your beginnings.
Yeah, so I'm a bit of one of those kind of rags to, not sure how to describe where we are now, but certainly not rags anymore stories. Started like most other entrepreneurs come business women do, with nothing more than hopes and dreams and not much else other than bags of enthusiasm. I actually came from a line of heritage of gypsy background, which is quite opposed to the education system for females, and was for the first female then in my family to actually go out and get an education and kind of break the norm.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the day when I told my mum that I was going to start my own business, and she asked me if I was mad and if I should pay to go and get a proper job. And she finally at 32, she's now proud of me because I have gone and done that. So over a decade later, I've now operated my education company in over 3 countries. And then at the end of last year, decided to just completely flip it all over. And I closed the business and I've now moved into an employed role now at the University of Notre Dame in Australia.
Now, you've kind of done a real reversal, because I suppose most people dream about leaving the 9-to-5. And becoming an entrepreneur and becoming in charge of themselves. But you've done the total opposite, where you had a very successful entrepreneurial business and gone into a, so to speak, 9-to-5. Yeah. What has been your key motivator for doing that, for making that change?
Do you know, I think whenever we make crazy big changes in our lives, there's normally more than one thing involved in making that decision. One is, Janice, I just love change. Change for me is where my moments of growth come from. And that's where I feel where there's been major changes and major disruptions in my life, whether it's been moving countries or breaking up with a partner or whatever it might be. These are the times when we are challenged within our limits to the point we do have to burst out of whatever seed we were in and go and get a new one. It's a bit like the hermit crab, isn't it? It gets too big for his shell, so he goes out and he has to get another one to survive. So that for me is a big one. I had a baby. Now, running an international 24-hour day, 7-day a week, 365-day-a-year business with over 12,000 students in it at any one time was becoming increasingly difficult to do with a baby, living out a suitcase on planes all of the time. And then my husband and his work got the opportunity to move to this beautiful country town that I'm in now from the city where we were based. And it's amazing how when you live nowhere, all of a sudden your perspective very much changes. It's interesting how physical distance makes you look at things from a completely different angle. And I decided that it was time for me to bring a bit of structure and routine into my life and my family. And honestly, if I'm honest, Janice, that for me, there was another kind of bizarre element to this, because people keep saying to me, Sarah, your business was so successful. Why did you basically give yourself a dramatic pay cut to go and work for somebody else, which is definitely what I've done. But I kind of feel like in my head for the last decade, I've been striving for this dream, for this massive organization, to have all the staff, to have the big glass office that I had and 23 people in the office around me and all the computers and all the overheads, and strive. And when I got there, I kind of realized that it wasn't what I wanted.
Right.
Getting it to go, it's not quite what I wanted anyway.
Yeah.
I think I was a victim of my own success to the extreme where it got too big.
Right.
It got too much. And the final decider for me, amongst all of those other things, was that when you get too big, to the point where you can no longer control the product that you have and the quality output, you know, when you have that many staff and managers, I found that there were moments after 10 years of never having a complaint, we started to get little slips in quality coming through, because I know, you know, one person can only manage so much. And in my head, I thought it's taken me 10 years to build my reputation. It will take one unhappy customer to destroy it. And I've got to the point where I'm no longer happy. Quality is important. I think now it's time for me to go. I'll leave it at that.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, you talked about, you know, you sound like you love to change, you know, so, and most of us kind of run away from that aspect of change because it's like, oh my God, it's just too much. So what would you say are the best ways to overcome some of the challenges that we get with making those changes? You actually mentioned some very significant changes, relationships, houses, moving country. I've been through quite a few of those, so I have my own views, but I'd be interested to hear yours.
I think that no matter who we are and whether we welcome change or not, it's always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful quote by a lady called Cynthia Ocelli who just has this beautiful explanation of change. And it goes something along the lines of, and I may have it slightly wrong, but it's something like, for a seed to achieve its greatest potential, it must come completely undone. Its insides come out, its shell cracks, and to anyone who didn't understand growth, it would look like total destruction. How nice is that?
Wow.
So when I think about change, what I see is, yes, it is going to be a little bit uncomfortable. It's going to be a little bit painful. You might get a few bruises. It's a bit like walking through a building you've never been in with the lights switched off. You don't really know where you're going or what's going to happen. You have the added complications of people being involved, which, you know, that they bring their complications, their feelings, their emotions towards you and the change of circumstance too. And however, it really is just an amazing time to see yourself in a new way and what you can do. I like this concept of, you know, heroes. My apologies. Heroes are only made on the front line. There would not be a hero if he didn't have to put himself into, dare I word it, the battlefield. There would be no opportunity for a hero if he didn't have to put himself into a place of risk and danger. If there wasn't a problem to overcome and solve and rescue oneself or others from, you don't get that title of hero. So I think we have to put ourselves in situations that stretch us and challenge us and make us think and behave differently to actually even have an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, so you're kind of telling this through. I've heard it with a couple of other interviewees I've done where they talk about getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
That's
it's never comfortable, is it? Oh, it's like no one likes conflict. No one likes the shoes that don't fit properly. It's always like, oh,
yeah,
but you know, the shoes look good, and I've had a good stretch from that workout. You know, it's. It's the whole working out thing, right? Yeah. Hands up, who likes doing it? I don't. I hate sweating and stretching and having PT shout at me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
so you've had, as I said, you've had a very successful career, but and I'm assuming during that time you've come across some challenges. So has there been a time where you've confronted a challenge where things have gone wrong, and how did you get through it?
Oh, do you know what I find interesting about evolution of ourselves, of our lives, of our businesses, is that it never stops.
Yeah.
We seem to, myself, I'm certainly guilty of this and have been forever, is that I constantly think, right, once I've done this bit, then I'm there. There, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be complete. I'm going to be built. I'm going to be a finished product. And it's really funny because you get there and you're like, oh, I don't feel like being the finished product yet. Yeah. You go and do something else and you realize how much more stuff there is to learn, and how much more stuff there is to build. So completely forgot where I was going with that.
That's a, confronted a challenge.
Confronting a challenge. So here we go. There's method to my madness. I was going somewhere. Is that, you know, I'm now in a position. I'm the executive director and a head of a university campus. I'm on the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce and Industry. You know, I run a radio show here. To anyone from the outside, I'd kind of look like I'm the finished product and I've done a pretty good job at it. But in reality, I have challenges every day. That really, really almost feel like they are cracking me open, like, you know, a seed coming out of its shell. And I have to ask myself, who am I? What am I doing? What's important right now? What are the rules and what's the right thing to do? Because sometimes you have to make decisions about something in between. So as I've grown, my challenges that I've faced have gone from your more expected challenges of business, such as losing a contract, a bad review, staff not, you know, having received the right level of support from me to be able to do their life's best work, a client not paying, all these kinds of things that can have their multiple knock-on effects. But what I'd say the most timely relevant challenges that I now find are ones that, if I look back, were behind all of those things that happened. Where how we relate with other people, how when we are going through change, when we're going through challenge, others around us are likely to be going through that too. And sometimes we can be so wrapped up in the pain that we're feeling from our shells cracking open that we don't recognize all the time that other people are going through the same thing. And that recently for me has been particularly challenging in my role in a university got brand new leadership, is going through structural changes, that, you know, as a new leader, I've got new visions, and that makes everyone uncomfortable. So the biggest challenge I think for me right now, and I think for most people, whether they're business owners, whether they're employed, whether they're embarking on a new journey, is remembering that we cannot on our own achieve greatness. We cannot steer a ship or sail a ship on our own. We can't know everything about everything, and that's something I've always tried to do. I'll do it myself. I'm a strong independent lady. I don't need anyone. And there's ultimately, when I look back at every failure I've been through, they've come down to me going, I can do this on my own. I don't need anyone. And we do. We really do.
Yeah.
So that challenge of letting people in when you want to shut everyone out, of showing love, warmth, kindness, and forgiveness when you want revenge and justice, you know, when you want to be respected, when you know, you've got people that maybe dislike a decision that you have to make. These are the true challenges of life, because if you can be past those feelings or those emotions and see the end destination you and your team or those around you want to get to, that's where things really start moving forward in the right direction.
And during those periods, Sarah, how do you maintain your confidence? Because especially being, you know, in the university, you are a leader. You know, it's not a business, but it is, but it's an education institution, people looking for direction and for leadership. And sometimes you may not feel so comfortable yourself, because, you know, or confident yourself, because you're just getting into that role yourself. So how do you maintain your confidence in those situations?
I think the thing about confidence is it's not a characteristic that we are born with. It's like a mood. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're not. And I forgive myself on days when my confidence is a little bit low and a little bit knocked. I don't expect to have it all the time, and nor do I expect others to.
Yes.
I think that it's if we beat ourselves up because we're not having a good day, it's not going to help anyone.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to look back on your previous successes and wins. I think we all have days sometimes where we go, I'm rubbish and I'm no good at anything and everyone hates me and I can't get anything right. Doesn't matter whether I'm putting my mum hat on or my wife hat on or my friend hat on or my work hat on. We all have days where we feel like that in one of those capacities. But I think people have to remember, you got where you are today somehow, right?
Yes.
Whether that be through lots of small wins or some big ones, to remember your academic or educational, your formal skills that you have, do a simple audit. Look at all of your life experiences that you've gained. Look at all the people that you have helped before. Look at all the people who have given you compliments about anything before.
Yeah.
Your whole entire life has been preparing you, has been training for where you at right now today. So I sort of always go, today might feel a bit bad, but this is going to be like my yesterday, which was the next part of my training for tomorrow.
Right.
So we'll get there. It's just a training day.
and it's like I tell some of the women sometimes that I coach, that they get to a certain position and they start to get a little bit, they start to have a wobble because they're like, I'm not quite sure, how am I here? Why am I here? What did I do to get here? I don't deserve to be here. And I have to remind them that, well, first of all, no person or no business owner in their right mind will give you a role if they did not think you were capable of doing it.
Yeah. So you did something. And if you got your own business, a client wouldn't hire you if they
exactly.
didn't believe you.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you got the seat of the table based on what they saw you can do. Mm. So you did something right. So, I totally agree with you.
It was interesting for me. I think the last time my confidence was a little bit shaky was the first day I took over in the director role at the university here. And I pulled all my staff together for a presentation. And, you know, I was already very well aware at the age of 32, I am the youngest university director in Australia's history, which is quite big. Well, yes, but I knew, thank you. But I knew that wasn't going to come without its challenges. And I walked into this big grand hall that we have here on our campus. Exactly how you'd imagine a university great hall to be.
Yeah.
And this whole sea of my beautiful colleagues were sat in front of me with expectant eyes. And one of the first things I saw is I've got a room full of people who are far more experienced than I am in terms of years behind them that they have. Mm-hmm. Most of them more academically qualified than I am. And there they are looking up to me with expectation and at the same time probably thinking, geez, she's younger than my daughter. And I came up and I sort of, you know, the way I got over that wobble of that confidence is by acknowledging that straight away and saying, you know, I have a team of people here who are more experienced than I am, more qualified than I am. And in fact, I am not going to be able to do this job well without learning everything I can from you. So it's about, again, coming back to the people and going, I might feel like this, but they're feeling something too.
Definitely.
Let's make sure that we collaborate and we, you know, we all hold each other up because there's going to be some days when they need to lean on me. There's going to be some days I'll need to lean back on them, and that's how it best works in any organization.
So Sarah, you're 32, as you said, and like, wow, you know, you're not much older than the child, to be honest. but you've had a fantastic career. What has been your, would you say, has been your biggest career triumph? Ooh, sharp intake of breath there.
Surviving, Janice, surviving. Do you know, a lot of people have asked me this question, is what's been your greatest success? And I feel very, very, I do feel a sense of achievement when I think of all the things I could sit here and list. But actually, I think the biggest challenge for business owners, whether you're a solopreneur on your own, whether you've got a team, whether you've been in the game for years, whether you're just starting out, whether you have a leadership role in an organization, is continuing to be resilient in times of challenge. I think the biggest part is staying in the game when you have your dark days. It's about continuing to be resourceful in times of drought. It's about having that those days when everything feels like the whole world is against you, and you get up anyway, you put your pants on, and you keep trying, you keep believing, and you keep smiling. That for me, 100% has been my greatest success, because it hasn't all been an easy road. Yeah. And there have been many times where it definitely would have been easier, sometimes more sensible for me to have thrown the towel in. but I'm really glad that I didn't. I think my greatest success being here today telling the story that I have is because I remained resilient, I remained strong on what was important to me, what my purpose was, what I loved to do, and I kept doing it.
Excellent. And Sarah, on those days where you feel like you want to throw the towel in, how do you change your mindset?
I actually just let myself have those days now. I used to be like, oh, why aren't I on 24/7? I just want to be this like pew 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 lady, you know?
Yeah.
You can't like that every day. You know, some days you just feel like poo and you want to eat crisps in bed, right? So now I just kind of like, you may know all about the emotional waves that you go through a month, whether it's connected to your cycle, ladies, but men go through them too. We have these cycles of energy, and they are patterned by day, but also patterned through a month period too. So I kind of go, you know, some days I feel massively creative. Yeah. Like this urge comes over me to be creative. So they're the days I clear my diary and I go, right, I'm going to let this natural feeling flow, and I'm going to be creative. I'm going to write blogs. I'm going to come up with new ideas. I'm going to work on the strategic plan and come up with some innovative methods for achieving our objectives. And other days I'm just going to cancel my meeting, and I'm going to put on my comfy pants, and I'm going to eat crisps in bed, and that's totally okay.
Yeah.
And just not beat yourself up about
it. Like I say, not beat yourself up because, you know, it's not, you know, if it goes on a bit longer, then maybe you're just going to see a doctor. But if it's a day, it's just a day. You know, it's not everything's going to fall over.
It's okay.
And
you know?
It's exactly the same being a parent. I mean, you know, because sometimes we think we have to be there all the time. We have to make sure everything's done, but sometimes the best days with the kids are the days we just keep your pajamas on, you know, and you make tents out of the sheets and have a picnic in bed, you know. That's some of the best days. So
they are.
We shouldn't beat ourselves.
That's it. No. And I think sometimes as well, just getting an alternative perspective, we can, particularly when we are leading or building a business, we can be very, very isolated. We feel that if we show weakness in front of our staff, or show weakness in front of our clients, or show weakness in front of our friends who kind of went, oh, don't take too much on, then that we're going to be judged, that we can't handle it, we can't do it, or whatever. It took me a really long time to open up to other people and go, I'm really having a bad day. But doing that has probably saved my life and my sanity, if I'm truly honest. Sometimes it feels very heavy when we're in our own world and we have what we feel is a hurricane blowing out of control around our heads. When you just open up and tell someone, it doesn't even have to be someone close. It can be a complete stranger. Sometimes that's better because they just totally don't judge you. You see another side of it. And sometimes just saying it out loud is literally like vomiting it out of your head.
That
has been wonderful for me to do. And I've actually really learned to trust anyone who says, hey, how are you today? Actually, not great. Not my best day ever. and that's enough, you know. So it's okay to not be amazing every day, although one tries.
Definitely, every day in every way. So Sarah, share with us a success quote or mantra that you would use and why it's meaningful for you.
Everyone says, what's your favorite quote? So I find that really, really hard. I can't pick of like a quote. I really do like that Cynthia Rotelli one that I mentioned to you before, because you know, that for me, I think I want to make sure that I'm always evolving and growing, because for me, as soon as you stop feeling any kind of challenge or any kind of resistance, as soon as you stop feeling any sense of discomfort, my summarization would be that you're probably standing still. And so for me, that's why I welcome the discomfort of change, because that tells me that I'm moving forward. Even if we're falling down pothole after pothole after pothole along the road, at least we're going somewhere. So that's why I like that growth concept. But it was interesting, a friend of mine said a Facebook post of the day, what's your favorite quote? And I really did think about this, and I thought, I don't really have one. I like to just jump in the sea. Yeah. That's well motivating for me.
You know, and I think if someone asked me, I'm not quite sure if I do think sometimes I used to have one, and it was, I did myself, which was you're the hero of your own story, and you are the author of your own story. You control the narrative, so, and you can make it happy ending, so own it. So, and you know, I thought I was feeling all really proud of myself when I wrote that, but I'm sure somebody else had written it. And I just heard it somewhere.
Amazing. Do you know that there's actually a theory that kind of ties in really nicely with that, Janice, and it's by an amazing psychotherapist in the past called Carl Rogers, who came up with this concept of life scripts. And according to this theory, that apparently is backed up by some research that was conducted, was that by the time we're 10 years old, based on the information that we've received from normally from our primary caregivers, we have already written a script, a play of what we think our life should look like. So I say, use the word should, because this is the sort of programming that we receive of, for instance, if I got told, when you get married, when you go to school, once you finish university, when you're in your job, what I'm going to believe is that's what I should do to be good and have a good life. If my life deviates from that script, that play that's been written for me, in any way, I will forever unconsciously feel a sense of dissatisfaction, incompleteness, that I haven't achieved something, that something's missing. But the beautiful thing, going back to what you've just said, Janice, there, is it's a life script. And just like the author of a play or the director of a book, did that the other way around, didn't I? You can get out the eraser and you can rub it out and you can rewrite it, because that's normally has been written by your caregivers, not by yourself. So, you know, that's maybe a nice segue out, is have a think about what your life script is. And Janice and I are completely switching our lives around, one from business into employment, and one from employment into business. What was the script that was written for you? And do you want to play out that script, or do you want to write a new one? Because you, like Janice and I have done, you can get the rubber out and you can rewrite it and do something totally different.
Definitely. And it's never too old, because like I say, I actually think you're only a year younger than my eldest child. So, you know, you can do it at any time. So Sarah, looking back, you just touched on about, you know, having the scripts a child written and stuff like that. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
What advice would I give to my teenage self? Would be, Sarah, trust your judgment. It's going to do you pretty well.
Yeah, nice.
Just trust your judgment.
Nice. Simple. Just keep it
your
simple.
Your gut knows, doesn't it? If you get that little twinge inside your belly that goes, oh, danger, go, is it a good kind of danger? A growth initiating kind of danger? So just jump in. Hold your breath. Jump off the cliff. Build the plane on the way down. If it's legit danger and this is a really bad decision, listen to your gut, because it always knows.
Definitely. And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Do you know, I think mentors and coaches are critical. If you don't have an outside perspective, I've said the way I deal with my challenges is to sometimes just air it out and sound it out in front of someone else. Often they don't even need to say anything. They just need to hear it. They are absolutely essential to your mental health, to your success, everything. And I truly believe that as we evolve, those who we work with needs to evolve and change too. We've all heard that saying, you know, there are some people here for a reason, some for a season, some for life. And I believe that applies to mentors too. My first ever manager, who gave me my first ever education job a long time ago now, I'm still friends with her, and I still very much look up to her as an advisor and as a mentor, because she's just been there for my whole career. There are other people who, through going through slightly different challenges, provide different perspectives and have different sets of maybe specialist expertise that that challenge might relate to. So, you know, you may have someone who is that beautiful sounding board who's just always there to hear you out. Mm-hmm. It may be that you have a subject matter based mentor who gives you specific advice about the field that you're in or the work or job that you do or the industry that you do it in. And certainly if you are, you know, running your own business, there may be one that you have for marketing. There may be one that you have for speaking. There might, you know, these I think all of these elements are very important. And me moving into an employed role now, I certainly found that to be a lot more obvious because now I've got someone in finance who I can get finance from. Yeah. Staffing who I can get staffing. But take yourself out of the business world, just look at your whole life. We can do that. There's the one you can get friend advice from, motherly advice from. Yeah. So I think your mentors just constantly need to change all the time.
Excellent. And what would you say are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
I have learned that my flexibility and adaptability have been the making of me. Excellent. My acceptance to admit openly and humbly when I'm wrong and ask for forgiveness when I've made mistakes has been very, very important to build bridges that otherwise probably could have been a destruction to, you know, they could have just been crevasses. Yeah. Sometimes even if you didn't or you feel you didn't do something wrong and someone's upset with you, sometimes it's better to look at the fact that they're upset and apologize to them for them being upset. To build bridges, and that I'm pretty darn resilient. definitely no Wonder Woman. We're all the same, you know. I've got a hole in my butt like anyone else.
Yeah.
But it's about seeing, like I say, every new challenge as a new opportunity.
Right. Fantastic. And Sarah, what would you say are your imperfections? And how do you embrace them? I say that very nicely, imperfections.
Oh, I have a few. I'll probably go with some of the most recent ones that actually have caused me to dig a hole that I've then definitely stuck my foot in. Is one of, I think many of my strengths are also my weaknesses, but sometimes they're so strong that they do hurt others. One is that I'm extremely direct. If I feel something or think something or need to have a chat with you, I will be completely honest without any sugarcoating. And my honesty has definitely hurt people. I think not everyone once says they want the truth, but not everyone actually does. Sometimes honesty is too much for some people to handle. So a weakness of mine is sometimes being too honest and not thinking very thoroughly about the fact that sometimes I just need to hold some things back. And I'd say another one is, again, My comfort with change sometimes makes me forget how utterly knee-crackingly terrifying it is for other people. Yeah. So there's me going, come on, why aren't we moving? Come on, guys, what's going on? They're like, oh my God, I've done the same thing for 25 years and now you want me to change it? And I forget how awful and gut-wrenching that is for other people sometimes. I have to just slow down, do step by step, not come in with my sledgehammers and want to rebuild everything in one go.
So how have you kind of handled with that? I'm trying to think where I'm going with this, because like you say, you're a very effervescent individual. As you say, how do you read the temperature of the room before you go headlong into it?
Yeah, well, we all have a natural ability to read other human beings. We have that from the second we're born. We can immediately feel other people's emotions. I in my early years when I first started business, I did go in and do some quite in-depth training on body language. And I didn't realize how much that would go on to serve me through later years. Understanding the concepts of emotional intelligence has also been incredibly helpful for me. So yes, I always come in with my own sort of positive flair that I hope will be infectious. Sometimes, people will probably find it very annoying, but awareness, right? I think, yeah, it's really important that when you walk in, you know, just to have, just to do that room temperature check, are the words being said by that individual, this matching their body language, the tone of their voice different, and actually just stop, go back to that gut thing I said before. What does your gut say? You can feel people. You really can feel people. And that's how you know to go, right, do I just be calm, gentle, be that sounding board? You know, sometimes someone else just needs that. I just need to sit and listen. Do I switch between masculine or feminine? You know, we both have both inside of us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people, my staff, need someone who is in masculine mode. They just need solutions. They need instructions. They need to be told what to do. And that's all they want. Other times I need to go into feminine and I need to listen. I need to let people feel heard. I need to show warmth and that I value and care. And that's all they want. And the last thing they want is me to say anything or fix anything or provide an instruction. And I think all of that has, for me, come very, very slowly over a very long time of lots and lots of practice, lots and lots of getting it wrong sometimes and working out, you know, what works and what doesn't. And I think I've still got a very long way to go before I perfect that as well.
Excellent, excellent. So final couple of questions now. Very busy lady, very busy lady, young family, husband, you know, demanding job. How do you make sure that you make time for you, that you don't burn out or neglect the persons or activities most important to you?
Oh, well, I got a job. Do you know, this is the most crazy thing, right, that has I've experienced by this whole transformation of going from running my own company to becoming employed is everyone says that getting your own business is you gain freedom. Yeah. And my experience with that is actually that that's not true. And I think you need to ask yourself what you think freedom means. Yeah. For me, I had a 24-hour-a-day business that in 10 years, I barely had a couple of days off from. Even when I gave birth, I literally got thrown up and 2 hours later I was back at work. I didn't have any maternity leave. And I didn't realize because it was so normal to me to just be on, you know, 10 years in, I wasn't tired. I was, you know, still going the same speed, but I didn't realize that I eventually was completely trapped. I was a prisoner in my business. I would feel guilty if I wasn't working and hustling. Oh, I hate that word, hustling 24 hours a day because there's always that anxiety, no matter how successful you are, no matter how much money your business turns over, the more you grow, the more overheads you gain. So you've always got to keep working harder. And I realized that if I wasn't hustling after the baby gone to sleep or in the weekends, I'd be going, oh my gosh, what if I don't finish that contract? We won't get our closure payment from the client. What if we don't deliver the best service on there and someone will badmouth me online and finger warrior mode? What if I don't hustle and get some new clients this month, then I won't be able to get paid next month and then I can't cover the overheads? Yeah. So I found myself being quite unconscious to this extremely high level of, I don't know whether it was anxiety or just like on all the time.
Right.
So when I moved up to slow little country Australian outback town and got a job that I get to literally finish at 4 p.m. I suddenly went, oh, what's this life thing?
Yeah. Ooh, and what do you do?
I'm going to the beach at 4 p.m.
And probably felt guilty doing it too.
Nope. This is it.
You've definitely settled into it.
I feel like, honestly, I feel like I've got my life back. Now, maybe this, you know, people listening to this might go, well, clearly you weren't managing your time effectively or clearly you didn't have the right structures in place and so on. That's fine. Probably they could have been improved, but it just grew so big so quick and I realized I didn't want to. I didn't want to fix that. I feel like for me, my definition of freedom now that I am a mum has completely changed. Now that my lifestyle has completely changed, what was freedom to me 5 years ago is very different to what I call freedom today. Things that I was terrified of 5 years ago, like routine, that scared the life out of me, is now something that I want and crave and need for me and my family. And it's just strange, isn't it, how everything around us changes. So I find that definitely has given me much more time to take on a voluntary board position, to run voluntarily a radio show, to go out and help in the community, to run events in our town and charity events, and go to the beach lots, and social socialize lots. Yeah. It's for me, I've just definitely gained lots from this.
Excellent. You sound really well on it as well. You sound really well as well. So we talked about your definition of success earlier in the podcast. So my last question is, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
Is to have your own back. When it comes to anything, and I used to use this a lot when I was talking to business owners primarily, but I think it applies to everyone, is if you don't believe in your product and your service, if you can't proudly stand up on any stage, shout through any microphone, talk to any person in any street about how great you are, how great your product and service is, then how on earth can you expect anyone else to say the same? You have to back yourself first. All it takes is one person to start dancing and singing and repeating that around you, and yeah, that turns into two, which turns into four. But ultimately, it starts with you. And if you haven't got absolute confidence and pride in who you are, what you're doing, and how you're doing it, nobody else can either.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that was my last question, Sarah. So thank you so much for your time. You're just so effervescent.
No.
Maybe it's been still first thing in the morning for you.
I've been up with a sick baby all night, so I had to apply on extra layers of makeup this morning. It's a bit creasy. That's good. I think it helps to be a bit over energetic and slightly crazy in this world of leading ourselves, isn't it?
Definitely. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you, is that possible?
Not these days, Janice. Okay, I've actually shut down all of my public profiles to give all of my energy to my role here at the University of Notre Dame. Excellent. However, I do have my LinkedIn open, and I would welcome anyone who would like to get in touch to say hello. That would be lovely. It would be great to hear from anyone there.
Excellent. So, Sarah, thank you very much for your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So that was my conversation with Sarah Corner over in Broome, Australia, via the UK. Now, I do hope you enjoyed that conversation. And one of the things that really stood out for me there was that you have to follow your passion. You can be incredibly successful in whatever role you're doing, but it just doesn't set your soul on fire. And sometimes you just have to go to that pain to discover what it is you really want. But when you do discover it, or when you do identify it's time to make that pivot, don't be fearful. Because if you plan, if you structure, you have the confidence, the courage to move forward, it will happen. So to help you with more confidence, or just to find more information about career moves or leadership, head over to my Facebook page, I Am Janice Sutherland, as that's where I want us to be able to stay connected. There I post information about whether it's a new episode or about the events and activities I have planned over the next few months. And I'm really excited to be sharing some of the new things I'm going to be doing. And I want to be able to keep in touch with you. So keep touch there, and you will find more and more information. Contact me, keep in touch with me. Drop me some information or questions about who you'd like to see interviewed. And I do thank you once again for listening. Make sure you share and subscribe on your favorite platform to the podcast, and rate, review, and comment. Until next time.